Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Pacific Watch. With Jeff Bliss, we go immediately to the reawakening of California's economy, built around people being together. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Coachella is back. What is Coachella and what does this mean for California? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Coachella is a big annual arts and culture festival. Really, it's a big rock and roll or pop music festival held out in the desert out near Palm Springs, Palm Desert, in the town of Coachella, Indio. And it draws hundreds of thousands, usually over a course of a couple weekends. It's considered a place where not only, you know, people with great careers perform, but also people are on their way up. So it's a place that's watched very closely by the pop culture folks and by the music folks, and certainly by the people of California, because this brings in millions and millions of dollars in taxes and spending. So it's a big benefit. So to see Coachella come back on the calendar is a big deal for people, especially in Southern California.
This is Coachella 2022. So they're already buying their tickets. Is that popular?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, there are a number of music festivals that aren't going to, or concerts that aren't going to be put on until 2022. That are already selling out. People are very hungry to get back into concerts and other entertainment venues.
Wonderful. Now, for a recall, just a note here, Governor Newsom has talent. He participated in a lottery today. Was it a wheel, Jeff, that they spun and picked a card out of the lottery? What was the lottery for?
As a matter of fact, the set did look very much like a lottery or a game show, and there was a wheel to spin there. And this is an effort to get a lot of more people excited, not just about the fact of an opportunity to get vaccinated, but also to win some big money. And as the state, you know, really continues to climb, although it's slowed down in terms of number of vaccinations, we're really seeing what amounts to a big game show giveaway by a state government of taxpayer money or COVID money. It's crazy how much money is being put out there.
It couldn't possibly be related to the recall, could it, Jeff? That would possibly explain why Governor Newsom was present. But there's more. Governor Newsom loves unions. How much?
Governor Newsom loves unions with a lot of money. So in one instance, he loves them because they are giving him a lot of money for to fight the recall. So that's one reason he loves them. But he's also loves them so much that he's looking to dole out about $8 billion in funds for people who have been dealing with COVID, with the lockdown and such. So you're talking about hospitals, even private institutions where the unions are at, you know, fast food restaurants, grocery stores, janitorial service. But really, you've got a lot of first responders and prison guards and teachers and others who are now starting to line up and say, we want a piece of this action.
And they're going to get the bonuses, or is there some debate on this? Governor Newsom looks like he can do what he wants.
There is some debate on it. And yes, he does have a lot of leeway. What he does need to do is he does need to get the legislature behind him. Now, obviously, it's almost completely Democratic, but those people who are in the Senate and in the Assembly will want to make sure they get their, you know, fingerprints on some of the money that's going out. So they'll be putting in special requests for people for special interests to make sure that they get that money. And that's where the tug of war is going to take place. It won't take place over whether money's going out. It'll be how much and to who.
Now, the virus is lifting, the vaccines are working, California is reopening, and we discover that the vineyards didn't have a bad year after all. Where is this vineyard, Jeff? San Luis Obispo, where is it?
That's right. So San Luis Obispo, if you look on a map of California, it's on the Central Coast, about halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's often called the halfway point in the state for that reason. And it has a lot of great wineries in that region, and Santa Maria Valley and Paso Robles. And this particular winery we're talking about in Paso Robles, so it's an north of the city of San Luis Obispo, but certainly within San Luis Obispo County. They've got a lot of culture there. They've got a lot of up-and-coming big-time restaurants and some really fine wineries, and they've been doing quite well.
Camp Roberts, Jeff. Last time we reported on Camp Roberts, it had been identified as one of the places California had offered for the unaccompanied children from the border, up to 5,000. But there's been a change of direction. What's happened?
That's right. So a coalition of people in the area fought hard against it and got the folks there at Health and Human Services to understand that this was probably not a good plan, that it was going to take a lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of infrastructure repair to make it work for 5,000. And there was concern that it might be as many as 20,000 people there. But what's even more impressive in terms of what they brought up is they said, look, we know that if you do this, you're going to be trying to create something permanent, and there's no way we can let that happen. This is an area that is, you know, has got some ecologically sensitive areas to it. This is a place that can't handle the costs associated with it because it's a relatively poor and sparsely populated area. So they said, you know, this will not work for San Miguel and Paso Robles and all the communities that are not far from Camp Roberts.
Now, this used to be called Not in My Backyard. Does it have that name in California when this happens, when the community comes together and rejects an initiative that looked philanthropic and looked like the state would have checked with the locals before they made this offer?
It certainly feels like Not in My Backyard or NIMBY. But they are bringing forward some pretty solid reasons. It's not just about we don't want outsiders here. It's that we can't afford to shoulder the costs associated with it. We can't afford the human costs, and we can't afford the very real money costs. We don't have an infrastructure that can support these people. Yeah, there's a lot of land here. There's some old army barracks. You want to throw these people in. But really, how do you take care of them, and how do we make that work with the community? They came to the conclusion early on that wasn't going to work.
Well, but Jeff, and I'm not arguing with you, I'm puzzling. That's the same, those are the same questions you could ask about the offer in San Diego or the offer in Long Beach. Yes, how are we going to support? Now, those numbers were in the hundreds. No, maybe the thousands. Those were in the thousands. They weren't in the 5,000s, but I believe one was possible up to 1,500. So those questions were asked in Southern California. Is there something different about Northern California and a community action, or is this just happenstance?
I think this is happenstance in the sense that it's not in a particularly wealthy community like some of the other ones in California have been, whether they've been in Northern California or in West L.A. But here in the San Miguel area where Camp Roberts is located, it's heavy agriculture. So you don't have the urban structure that's set up. You don't have the infrastructure that's set up to handle large numbers of people. And just like I said, the idea of just dumping people into this space, I think people realized that it would be lunacy because there would be no way to really take care of them. And they couldn't turn to the people of that region to support it because they don't have the people to take care of it. They don't have the manpower, and they certainly don't have the money.
I call upon Engineer Bliss. In his youth, Pacific Watch worked at Disney World, and he manned the trains along with the gondolas in another life. However, we have a story that Engineer Bliss regards as dear and important, Caltrain. Jeff, Caltrain, I've written Caltrain. You've written Caltrain. They're going to electrify it? I didn't know about this plan. How much?
Well, the project received $52 million in federal funding from the third stimulus package. It's going to be much more than that, but they're really going over, over budget, and to the point where they're saying, wait a minute, this is going to be put a serious crimp in our ability not only deliver on time, but maybe deliver at all. Caltrain, for people to know, runs up and down the peninsula there between San Francisco and San Jose. It's a major commuter line. It's not light rail, but it's more like along something you'd see like an Amtrak type train or Long Island Railroad. It's heavily used. But it's aging, and they do want to turn it electrified or electrically run system. But to want to do something and to be able to do something are two different things, especially when it comes to transportation. We've got lots of pie-in-the-sky dreams, whether it's a bullet train or electrifying trains or electric cars. But to get there is going to be very expensive and take a long time.
Engineer Bliss, who is Pacific Watch, Jeff Bliss. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.